I don't buy the idea that, you know, the society the way it is right now, it has to be this way.
Welcome to Rewrite the Rules with your host, Alex Starr.
So many of us choose our path out of fear disguised as practicality.
It's time to live life on your own terms.
What do you really want?
What up, everybody, and welcome to a fresh episode of Rewrite the Rules. I had 5 days out in Cuba last week where I was really able to just disconnect. My girlfriend and I went out there, no phones. I didn't bring a book with me for the first time in a long time. No TV, no consumption. And, you know, I really got clear around what it is I'm doing with Rewrite the Rules in terms of my podcast, in terms of the brand, the book that I'm writing. And, you know, we all get programmed when we're growing up, right? We get programmed by our parents, by our teachers, by society. Not all of it bad. But what I've been trying to do and what I continue hopefully to do for anybody that pays attention to the things that I do or say, you know, it's about introducing fresh concepts, fresh ideas into our minds at a base level that then transpire and percolate out into our relationships, into our society, into our communities, and into our world that, you know, let you choose the life you want to live instead of the one that's been dictated you by these cultural paradigms and programming. So it sounds a little 1984-ish, but I wholeheartedly believe in that. And it's, you know, the stories that and the people that I have on hopefully will trigger something in you that even just for a split fucking second, you either go, oh, thank God I'm not the either one. I'm sorry. Oh, thank God I'm not the only one, right? You hear some type of story that really relates to you and you have that, oh, that like sigh of relief feeling because you realize that, oh, I'm not the only one that like eats cookie dough ice cream in my underwear on the couch at, you know, 10 a.m. on a Saturday, that type of stuff. Or you get something that just slightly switches what you thought was possible. And that can be through a book, that can be through a conversation, that can be through a podcast like this. And you go, oh, I didn't know that you could travel there. I didn't know you could do that type of job. I had never thought about whatever topic this is in this way. So yeah, that's what's going on here. I hope that's properly conveyed. And, you know, if you like this podcast, all I ask, the small fee or charge, is that you just tell somebody that you like that would enjoy an episode. So if you like this episode you're about to hear, just tell a friend. If you enjoy it, tell somebody. That's the best way to spread what we're doing here and to get the word out, and it would be much appreciated. It is, I think it's gonna be 105 degrees today here in Austin, and I've been putting off recording this intro for so long. I feel like a lot of these podcasts I don't want to put out because I'm trying to figure out why exactly it is. I think it's because once I put it out, then I have to own up to the fact that it's out there and I can't hide in the thought pattern of, oh, it's going to be great, but I just haven't put it out there yet. I guess it's like a fear of failure thing or a fear of success. I've been trying to peel back these onion layers, my dear listeners, but I don't know what the fuck it is. I gotta just stop, keep posting more. No idea why. Weird stuff. Anyway, guys, very excited about this podcast with my buddy CJ Finley. He is, I don't even know how to describe him. I mean, he's an entrepreneur. He's extremely well-connected. He runs a Instagram page that's called Thrive on Life. And that's like his main company, but he's just a go-getter, a hustler. He's all over town. You follow his Instagram, you'll know what I mean. Had a real, real good time recording with him. He had his intern, Hamza, here, who was fun to kind of have, you know, a guest in the studio, in my studio that I have two microphones attached to my desk. It's my studio. But yeah, we had a great time, and he's just a very interesting guy, real intense, has a great heart, and I think you guys are going to enjoy this one. I post all the shit we talked about over at alexstarr.com, so you can check it out there, and I think that's it. Y'all enjoy.
Rewriting the fucking rules, day Woo! One.
Rewrite. We'll just start there, dude. I just put that in.
What?
That was it. That was the beginning of it. That's the beginning of the podcast right there.
Rewrite the rules?
Yeah. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How
about
yourself?
Welcome to the studio. We got Hosma over here. Hamza. Damn, I fucked it up. I fucked it up, dude.
Isn't that like a song? Like
Hosma?
Yeah. No, but...
Hamza. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's
how do you say cool. your last name again? Abdallah.
I'm not going to try and do that.
Dollar,
right
dollar
I'm
bills,
gonna,
yo.
I'm going to stick with
dollar,
just getting Hamza correct right
That's
now.
That's your new nickname, Dollar Bills.
I think
bills.
This is the first time that we've had a like a guest sitting in on the podcast.
Well, we're just popping cherries today, bro. That's
yeah,
all I'm saying.
We are. Maybe we'll think of a question to throw your way, too, like halfway through. I'm going to find a way to bring you into the conversation. So what's up, dude?
Not much. Just hanging out. Typical
yeah.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
We had a nice meeting, team meeting before this. And then just roll up to South Austin with some overgrown greenery I see you got here.
Yeah, our BBC zucchinis. Yeah. My BBC and zucchinis, yeah.
So, I do. So when what, I post, what does BBC mean, though?
British Broadcasting Company. What do you think it meant?
Something else, but
dude. So when so funny story. I posted that to Instagram, showing like pulling them out of the garden. Every single gay guy following me responded to it, and some of them said different things. One gay guy said the gays are shaking in their boots. Another gay friend asked, "Are you growing sex toys in your garden?" Another, but they all responded in their own way to me pulling these giant zucchinis out of my garden.
Sidebar with the and this was on Instagram.
Sidebar
right?
with BBC,
with BBC. But kind of on the same line. But you're talking about this is on Instagram. They're hitting you up.
First, yeah, I posted a story. Yeah.
Yeah. So like when I first moved to Austin and started getting basically in the friend group of like Shay and a couple of our other buddies, Izzy and whatever, people start like the gay guys would start reaching out to us on Instagram. So we created a group chat called Thrive on Guys, and literally we would just post in there like all the people that were hitting us up, sending us DMs.
Thrive on Guys.
Yep, Thrive on Guys.
Just a bunch of like, because what? That's three fitness tattooed guys staring into the
you
camera.
You don't even want to know what's in that group.
Dude, like, so you know what that makes me realize, though? And I had another instant that I'm not going to get into the details right now because the person could listen. But it makes me realize how fucking creepy guys are.
Yeah, bro. I feel bad right? for women, man.
I honestly do. Nothing has made me feel bad for girls more than when a gay guy has approached me and like come on to me a little bit. And it's like, oh,
so
God, that feels terrible.
And like going into like the
in
feeling,
a creepy way, right?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. It's like it's because of directness. Like guys are super direct with how they approach things, and
that's
where,
what
like,
makes them creepy, though.
Yeah, like that. And that's that creepy mentality where, like, if you approach a woman and you're like very direct with her, like it comes off as kind of creepy, sales guy creepy. Like that's how I think of it. Like,
it does, yeah. And kind of like with sales, where it's like, wait, you didn't give me any value here. Like, why am I going to purchase from
exactly.
you? What's in it for me? Instead, it's like, let's just go to the sale.
Yeah. Let's go. I don't even want to know what the sale is at that point. So
you know exactly what the sale is at that point. You know exactly what it is. Well, that's cool, man. So, you know, you're a pretty fucking energetic guy. One of the most energetic guys I know. What do you do? What's
so,
like, what are you? Were you born this way? Were you
drugs?
Born?
A lot, and a lot of drugs. No,
the same
no.
drugs we did before the show.
Yeah, exactly.
But I lined up on the two.
No, believe it or not, I'm pretty much I don't use substances. I don't, and I'm not saying that like it's a problem or whatever for people to do that or take pre workout or things of that nature or coffee. I used to be a heavy coffee drinker, but now pretty much try to control caffeine only. Maybe one drink of caffeine a day, if that. But the energy always came from when I was a little kid. I just was born to thrive, as I would say. Like, I'd literally be the kid that would get lost in grocery stores. So my mom would walk in and she would turn around and I would just be gone. And that's when that didn't become an issue until my brother was born. So he's 3 years younger than me and she had to put a leash on me. So I was like,
wait, one of the leashes?
Yes. I was a fucking leash kid before there were leash kids because there was no backpack like there is today.
What,
with like
a tie
monkey.
A rope around you with a
she
belt?
She literally like, it was a Velcro thing that like you couldn't get off as a kid and it was around my wrist.
Oh,
so it wasn't
no.
like a backpack where you're a little kid just thinking like, oh, I got this cool backpack. No, it was like a leash around my wrist and I'm just like pretty much walking around. But those were the times, and I'm still alive probably because of that. So,
do you drink?
I appreciate it. Used to be a huge drinker.
Yeah.
It kind of runs in my family, as it probably does in many people's family.
Yeah.
But come like, I think it was like 23, 24, I was blowing too much money and going out and realized I was partying for the wrong reasons. Started waking up being like, what the fuck am I celebrating every week? Like Friday, Saturday, I would blow $50 to $100 at the bar. I'd be like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
And then started investing my time in other ways and just felt better. And a lot of it was health.
Your time, you mean in health?
Yeah, in health, like bettering my health. So I have an autoimmune disease, celiac disease. And essentially what happened was...
That's gluten, right?
Yeah. Gluten, hypersensitive to gluten. And it also leads into like, if I don't watch it, I can get like Crohn's and colon cancer and a whole bunch of other shit that I don't want. And like alcohol affects the immune system very much so.
Yeah.
So then I started looking into, there's been deaths in my family and a couple of health issues that I really, really don't want. And I had to tone down my drinking. And then now it's just like, the problem with I have with drinking is if I drink, I fucking drink. Like I can't have
I agree, one. Man. There's no point in having one. What's the point of having one for the taste? What the fuck?
Man, it's gotta be like
10 or none.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no, I agree, man. That's why I try and limit myself.
Yeah. It's gotta be like something special or like July 4th's coming up. So we're going on a yacht. I'll drink there. But like, I'm definitely not the type of person that will just, let's have a cocktail at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah. We're going to gloss over the fact that you just said 4th of July going on a yacht and we'll move on to the next topic.
It's happening.
At Lake Travis?
Thank you, Scott. Yeah. Lake Travis.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Cool. Well, you have to drink. You're on a yacht.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
And fly drones. And yeah, there's going to be chicks with bikinis and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, so it'll be a fun time. You're going to be doing like a fire festival. You're making a fire festival commercial, aren't you? Chicks in bikinis and booze and you're on a yacht.
It's really going to happen.
Yeah, Thrive on Life is going to be hosting a retreat soon. They're going to be hosting a music festival. It's going to be great.
I wouldn't put it past me. I am actually planning a retreat right now.
Yeah,
cool. Has nothing to do with Thrive. It's called Reverb and Revive.
What's that
R&R.
About?
It's just essentially
what was it?
Reverb and Revive. Okay. So Reverb is just a music term where it's just like,
yeah,
I'm not going to go into that, but yeah, R&R, and then essentially just gathering a bunch of people that could possibly run retreats of their own in the future and using it as like a little getaway outside of Austin to gather feedback and then hopefully run retreats across the world at some point in my life is a huge goal of mine.
What do you want people to get out of the retreat?
That so we're doing a lot
not this one, but just like in general, the stuff you want to do.
I couldn't tell you. So I'm huge into disconnecting where it's like, we have this huge problem in society where you wake up and you immediately grab your coffee. And what that does is it fucks your hypothyroid up, which then causes you to not eat. And then later on in the day, as you're stressed, you then splurge on what you're eating. And it's just, there's the whole chain of events that happens in society today.
Yeah.
Versus like, if you woke up in a non-stressed environment, you probably aren't going to be hungry and you're going to be more self-aware to realize like, okay, like, what do I feel like doing? Am I going to work out? Am I going to read? Am I going to do these other things? Not just hop right on my phone or right on my MacBook or right on phone calls. I'm going to actually like think about what is it that my body needs right now? What does it need? And that's where with the retreats, it's really about resetting for me, like going on this retreat and resetting and learning new things. So I'm huge in education. So that resetting and learning looks like you'll have a psychological aspect. You'll have a movement aspect where you're learning new things in terms of fitness and nutrition. And then a business aspect, because I'm a huge believer that like everybody should kind of be running their own side hustle in today's day and age, because it gives you leverage to do things that you love with your life.
Yep.
Literally you could drive Lyft, do Uber, whatever it may be, or you to market things, or you can like pet sit. You can watch people's gardens, which you have a garden. Like, I don't fucking know. Like, maybe
it needs to be watched. Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah.
It's overgrown right now. Someone could have came and trimmed it for an extra buck or two. Like, there's just so many ways.
Trim my bush for a couple bucks.
Yeah. I don't know what bush you're talking about, but we won't talk about that. Yeah. So that's where I see it going.
Yeah.
And I'm huge on like, have you ever read The Lean Startup? It just talks about building MVPs. So I love building MVPs and just not really going into things with this huge vision of what it needs to be, but more of like, what are we looking to get out of this and then move to the next step? So what we're looking to get out of this is just 15 really good people and then get feedback on like, what is the price point that you would pay for a retreat like this if we went to Costa Rica or Ibiza or wherever else? And then what would you want from that retreat? Like, mm-hmm. when you go, what is it specifically that you want? And then I'm literally just going to take that data and hopefully build retreats around what the people want.
Yeah,
and roll from there.
Yeah. I mean, what you touched on right there, like getting recentered, is extremely important for a lot of people, because it's really easy to get thrown off chart, you know, to get thrown off of the track that you're trying to get on by the million of fucking things coming at us day in and day out. Like you said, from the minute you wake up, if you do that, right? Like the days that you do reach for your phone, you get fucked so much easier, so much earlier than if you just give yourself an hour at the beginning.
Yeah. And it's like,
or 30 minutes at the beginning.
That, I'm not going to put myself on a high horse. That was me, man. Like,
yeah,
like
I have, do that half the week, probably.
I have like when I wake up, it's like 30 text messages, 15 DMs that, or more. And I'm a nobody. Like, so there's people out there.
How many text messages do you get when you wake up in the morning? How many do you have? But one in from my mom. I got maybe a couple.
I love you, mom.
Yeah, 30 text messages.
Yeah, like, but I mean, there's a couple guys in our friend group that understand that. And yeah. Again, like I said, like we're nobodies on the retrospect of like, there's famous people.
It's all relative.
People.
I mean, what
yeah,
do you mean
famous
by that,
people then? Like are getting thousands. So like, I'm trying to learn like, how do I, if this is a thing that where I'm getting a lot more messages, because I am working on a lot of projects. I work with a lot of different people on different things. And then I have events that I'm planning. So it's just getting piled up of different things and different people. And what I used to do is like, I was like, holy shit. Like immediately when I woke up, I would try and hammer them out. But I started realizing I was getting way too stressed and started realizing that I was falling back in the bad habits of like in the corporate world where it's the amount of tasks you can get done versus the value in things yeah. and like chunking things and then like giving yourself that time. So now what I do is just like wake up, get in the bathtub and read before I like even look at my email or my text or anything like that. And then I chunk it. So like literally I'll be like, you know what? I have set amount of texts. I'm only going to answer 10. And then later on in the day, I'll answer another 10. And things of that nature. And it's helped a lot because I just had to tell myself, look, like they can wait for this time frame.
Yeah.
But I still have a structure beyond that. And that's where like going to this retreat, I would love to teach people like these little principles that like give you more self-worth and realize you could literally not answer. I can answer none of those texts and my life still goes on.
Yeah, I think that's a choice. I think that's a big part is it's a choice.
Yeah.
And the phone keeps you in this state of constant flux and in constant flight or flight mode.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where you,
I've heard of that.
And you know it's in your pocket, you know, and you know the text messages are there. And so it's almost like you can't get them out of your head or it's a lot harder to.
Yeah, and
right.
I gotta respond. And because it's linked to business, like that's for me. Exactly. It's just like it's linked to.
Or what if a friend asks you? Like somebody asks you business things. It's your reputation. Then yeah. another friend says, "Hey, you want to come on this fucking yacht with girls in bikinis yeah. for the weekend?" Like now, each one of those is a little micro decision that you have to make every day. In addition to the larger macro decisions of, should I have that talk with my girlfriend tonight? Or like, you know, she seemed upset about this. Where are we gonna go? How should I eat tomorrow? Like, how am I gonna take my business? Like. The relationships you have in your life, got to call my parents. There's like these macro things in your life of what you're doing. And then there's all these little micro things. That
yeah. Have you ever seen the YouTube of the jar? Like of the rocks? Oh,
yes. Yeah. And like the water on top.
Yeah.
Like, cause it
yeah.
fills up your
that,
time.
What you just
thing.
Said, like perfectly
that's true.
Describes
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And that's what happens, man. That's what happens. And it'll run you out of town if you let it.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, I'm not going to put myself on the high horse. I've that energy has been, it's my best strength, but it's also my biggest weakness. And like the person that could speak to this the most is my wife, because like I go 300% into things. Like if I come here, I'm going to give this podcast like 300 fucking percent of my energy.
You're already doing
but
it.
That like depletes in other areas of my life. So like if I go home and I'm depleted and she needs me, like I'm starting to realize I have to balance all this. And that's one of the biggest reasons where I was like, I need to find what structure works best for me. And that's yeah. where for everyone else, like to thrive, it's not, there's no right way. There's a wrong way to do things. Like you can be an asshole or you can just not live life with any principles at all. Like that's the wrong way to do things, but there's no right way for each individual. Like everyone in this room right now, like you do things differently than I do. Like, cool. Like, but whatever works for you is going to work for you. And like what works for me is like, I cannot wake up and just go right to work because I get stuck in this loophole. And then literally I'll be that guy where at noon I'm like scratching my head being like, holy fuck, I haven't eaten yet. Like,
I know,
that's
yeah.
me. That's how it works. Yeah. So I've had to create kind of a fail safe for that.
Yeah.
As you could say.
Yeah. What do you say to, you know, when people are just feeling overwhelmed? There's a lot of people that feel overwhelmed or feel stuck with where they're at, like, and they're not sure what to fix first, right? What do you recommend, or what have you done in your life as like a starting point
to go back
to negate that?
To what you would do when you were a little kid. So for me, when I feel overwhelmed, I think about what would I do right now if I didn't have any bills, if I had no obligations for people, and I just wanted to do what CJ wants to do. And usually that's like read a book, pick up something or write something, or skateboard, fly a drone, do something that has to do with adrenaline, work out with a friend, go play soccer. I always fall back on those things. Mm-hmm. So immediately my thing is like, if I'm overwhelmed that day, like I'll give you a good example. Yesterday, like, was Hamza, my intern's first day, and we had a pretty long day. And I hadn't gotten much sleep the night before because it was my 1 year anniversary with my wife. I love you, Aaron. And
didn't get much sleep the night before.
No, like we went through a class, and
I don't know why this podcast got so bro-y all of a sudden.
but it was a long weekend, and that day like was pretty long, and I still had a phone call at 7 p.m. Now old me would be like, I made this commitment.
Yeah.
It's my job. Like, I got to do this. And like midway through the day, I was like, you know what? Like, this call can wait. It's not dire. I want to go do something that I want to do because it's going to help me the next day and the next day and the next day moving forward. So that was what that looked like, is I just rescheduled the call, and then I go fly a drone and work out on my own. And that just reset me for today to give 300% into today. And I've had to be okay with like saying no a lot more. And hone in on like what my energy is and protect that. And that I believe that happens when we have fun and joy and happiness and doing those things that you would do when you're 3 or 5 or 7 or 10.
Yeah.
When you have
none
of these.
That's a great fucking way to look at it. That's a great way to look at it. It really is, because I was talking to a buddy of mine about this. Yeah. Crack that open. I was talking to a buddy of mine about this, and he was telling me how he works and he's getting really successful at the job that he's at now. But he looked at me and he was like, but Star, I don't know what exactly I'm working for anymore.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, first of all, that hurts. But what do you mean exactly? And he's like, I just don't know what, if I'm not working, like I lost touch with the things that I truly enjoy. And so this is all going great. But like in my free time, I'm not sure exactly what to do. Like, what is it that I still enjoy to go do and like brings me back to life, like you said. So I think that's a great way to do it, man.
It's,
think back when you were a kid, because we all know what we like to do when we were a kid.
Yep. I had a guitar. I've skateboarded.
Right.
I would snowboard.
You were outside a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like you were with friends and you were outside.
Yep.
That's probably the majority of us. When we were having a really good time, if you look back, you were with your little friend to the neighborhood or the apartment or whatever, and you're outside.
Yeah, and we won't talk about
or
getting
Xbox.
Arrested for fires and blowing up axe cans in fires.
But that was
and
part of it too, right? Yeah, that was part of it too.
Can't do that anymore.
You can't do that anymore. That's
so
true. Yeah, we had our peak there where we could like do shit without getting arrested.
Yeah, that definitely was fun. But I've learned to do it in other ways. Like last week, I went to a mastermind set up by one of my friends, and like in that one, they like basically everyone there grilled into me. You sit around in a circle and then you talk for a couple minutes and then they help you with some of the problems you're having. And I relate to your friend because what brings me joy is like the process and is working. But I fight myself over living in the present moment because I know that like if I give to a lot of people right now, it's going to come back in return, and I'm going to have a lot of time to like learn how to play guitar and skateboard.
Yeah.
Versus now it's like, how do I fit that into my schedule just
right.
a little bit
right.
and then still work towards that goal of like, you know what, like at one point in my life, I'm going to have enough money to just be like, the next 6 months, I'm not working. I'm literally just learning new things and testing new things as if I'm a little kid again, to then recharge. So it's been a constant battle of that. And I think, I mean, all entrepreneurs struggle with this, is because we're so passionate about what we do that you kind of like get lost in this never ending loophole of like, it's never enough, because there's no salary or bonus at the end of the week because you did a good job. Like if you do a good job as like a CEO and a founder, they're like, okay, cool. Like how do we go make more money and hire more people and do more things? So you're just like, fuck, like what's the end thing? And yeah, at my age, I'm really coming to terms with like, there is no end thing. So I'm just going to enjoy what I'm doing, just be super patient with everything. And then that comes with surrounding yourself with other people who are like, bro, like you need to go have more fun. Like, let's go have fun.
Yeah.
Let's go cliff jumping. Let's skateboard. Let's book a trip to Colorado or whatever, like whatever it may be.
So. Yeah, no, that's true. And I think it also comes down to, you were saying like to let yourself do that. And a lot of times it's so easy to sit there and always think that the end result is just around the corner. Like, I think that's the most common thing that we all have in our heads all the time, that like literally we should all get it tattooed on our fucking forehead, you know, because it's so easy to get caught in that trap. It's like the next meal, the next workout, the next deal.
Yep. Right,
the next man. Podcast, and that's gonna be when my life really starts. That's gonna be when it all hits home, right? When you graduate college, right? These little milestones we put in our heads, and we're like, we all do it internally.
Yep.
We all have these milestones of this future moment. That's when my life is starting. That's when it's all gonna really start to happen for me. And then you get there, it doesn't, and immediately after you surpass that, you see the next one, and you're like, oh no, I was just kidding. It's right there. I see it. It's right fucking there. And I've done that for 30 years. And I like know that trick, but I still have to remind myself of it pretty much every day.
Bro, it's one of the reasons I got into doing what I do is because it's a constant, like it's a constant reminder to fight against what you just described. So like my brand is based around helping other mission-based entrepreneurs like quote unquote thrive. And a lot of that is mental health, physical health, spiritual health. The reason that was created was, yes, I love helping people, but at the end of the day, I need this constant reminder that like, we're gonna die, right?
Yeah.
And I need to be doing something that makes me feel fulfilled as we're in this very moment, because nothing else matters rather than like me looking you in the eyes right now, because there's 7 billion people on this earth right now that are all walking, talking, doing whatever they are doing right now. And we're just right here. We're just this small little dot.
Yeah.
And I can either embrace it and be happy in this moment, or I could be thinking about those 7 billion people and what they're doing and why they're doing it and all these things. And that's the core reason of like why I'm building what I'm building, is because it's that constant reminder and it keeps me happy and in that like joyous, energetic, as you asked me in the very first question. That's why I'm so energized, is because there's so much I don't fucking know. There's so many people I don't know that I'd love to learn from and listen to. And I'm very confident in the fact that if I just focus on this very moment and give everything I got, that I'm gonna literally milk life. Rather than like what most people happens to most people is they get a job, a corporate job, and it literally sucks the fucking soul out of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they turn 60 and can't retire.
You did corporate for a while, right?
3 years. Yeah.
And how did you leave?
And
why did you leave?
So I kind of pulled a Tim Ferriss. So I was reading, I'm 28 now, I was 24, and I was reading 24-hour work week at that time. I mean, 4-hour work week at that time. 24-hour work week. Fuck that. 4-hour work week at that time. And he talked about just do and ask for forgiveness. And it really hit home with me, because I was at this pivotal moment in my life where I had met the one. Like, so my wife and I have known her since we were little kids. And I flew out there. I missed her as a friend and flew out there, and we like hit it off. And I was like, oh shit, like she's in Houston. I'm moving to Nashville for this job. Like, I don't really want to do long distance, but this girl, I'm going to marry her. Like, that was in my head. So I end up going to this job in Nashville. And for 7 months, I was like flying back and forth just because I wanted to see her a lot. And we're booking all these trips. It's really fun. And I'm listening to Tim Ferriss, and I'm like, I really don't like this job that much. I'm like, I could definitely find another new job. Like, I want to be with Aaron every single day of my life. So like, fuck it. I'm going to move to Texas. But I didn't tell my job. I just moved.
So you finish out a week on a Friday.
Yep.
And then You didn't tell anybody.
It kind of got
screwed. You
didn't
tell a friend. You didn't tell anybody.
I had no friends in Nashville. Like literally, I was there 7 months.
Even and
I was,
at work, like no like, friends. Huh?
Like barely. They were none of them were my age. I had two. I had two friends.
Okay.
So I told them, but what happened was I was supposed to leave on like a Thursday or something, and it snowed in Nashville. And it like never snows. And like when it snows there, it was like 5 inches, like it shuts the entire city down. And I had a little two-door G35, terrible in the snow. So I'm like, fuck, I got to delay a day, which actually worked out because it was like a $40 flight for Erin to fly from Houston to New Orleans. And she'd never been there. So like, fuck it. Like she flew in and then I drove the 7 hours to New Orleans. We spent a night there and then we got the next day, drove to Houston. And then I had to make that call to my boss being like, so my boss worked in New York City, not in Nashville. And that was one of the reasons why I was like, it's prime for me to leave because no one on my team even lived in Nashville. I would go to work and they started doing like hybrid where some people would come in Monday through Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Other people would come in Tuesday, Thursday. And it was like desk sharing. So I'm like, they're already kind of going this route. Like, what does it matter if I just work from home? It's not that big a deal. So, but instead of asking, I knew I'm young. They're not going to let me. I'm not senior enough, but I just did it. And then they were kind of pissed, but basically said like, you know what? Like you can do it. Fuck it. And that's what happened. So as soon as like I got that taste of that, of like just do and like do things like it wasn't that like that's not idiotic because I set myself up where I had a good degree. I had some connections and like I was confident in myself. If I had to get a job, like I'd literally hit the streets. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Okay. So I would literally hit the streets if I had to. And yeah. I was confident I can find a job within a month or two. And I did the math.
You'd wait tables if you had to,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah. But I did the math. It's like I'm blowing. So I had my rent was $1,100. So I calculated like me just moving. If they fired me, that already saves me $1,100. So it's like, I'll just work my ass off 24 hours a day to find a job,
yeah,
just to re-up and then start networking again and just do it all over again. So that kind of gave me that confidence. And once I took that, that's when I started getting into this entrepreneurial endeavors and just took that energy and that confidence in that route. So that's now we sit awesome. Here today.
Yeah. What'd you do then when you first got to Austin and you were fresh off the boat, so to speak? What'd you do?
So I actually, and this is what I would recommend anybody do, is I didn't work. I just networked. So when I first moved to Austin, I literally made it my goal to have 3 meetings a day. So I would have a breakfast, lunch, and dinner with somebody. I went on Shaper, I went on Instagram, I went on LinkedIn and just reached out to people in different networks and said, I'd love to buy you coffee and learn more about what you do. And just basically grill into the community. I just wanted to become a part of Austin. And that kind of, that led me to everybody. Izzy was my first friend. I met him at Gold's Gym in like August. I moved here in like the end of July. Shay, I got connected to through Instagram where Erin, my wife, literally just commented on one of his posts and was like, you guys got to meet up. Faez, who's one of my best friends, met him on Instagram, had him for our first meeting at Whole Foods. Literally, that's how it worked.
You were looking at hashtags? You're just looking at people in Austin?
I was looking for like-minded people, 100%. Like people that were go-getters, that were looking to build communities and do things beyond like just make a cool company to make profit. Yeah. So I'm not, like, I'm sick. I'm a big believer in like, again, we can die at any moment. So like money has never been my driver. I had a really good job that paid me a lot of money and it felt like shit because I was working for a bank. So I kind of got that taste already early on in my life. And when I came here, I was like, I want to build something. I want to do something cool. I want to work with cool people. I want to get into the startup scene. And I think a lot of people are too worried about the next step. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to give that 300% into who can I connect with and how can I help them? Mm. So every person I would sit down with, it's like, dude, you working on anything? I'd love to help. Literally, I've worked on an 18-wheeler before. I've done everything from like unloading 18-wheelers to running multi-million dollar projects in project management. I can help you do a lot of cool things. So like just I'll do it for free, pro bono. And that's how I got my start here in Austin.
I mean, you did that for the first 3-6 months, something like that?
So I did it for 3 months. And then I got in a huge fight with my fiance, now wife, and she actually ended up throwing a ring at me because so she
don't mean to laugh, but it's she, funny now.
No, no, I laugh because I fucking deserved it.
Okay.
I was an asshole.
Yeah.
But two, it enlightened me because I was still getting used to like the whole like you're in a really serious relationship and like you have to communicate certain things in your life and like I'm not. I love to talk, but I'm not a good communicator of my feelings because like I'm very black and white engineer type. And like what I was feeling was like, holy shit, I'm meeting a lot of cool people. This is going to pay off. But I wasn't describing what I was actually doing to Erin. Like she just thought, she's like, you're just going on lunches. Like you're wasting our money. Like when are you going to like get, quote unquote, get a job? Like when are you going to start working?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I am fucking working. Like I'm working harder than I've ever worked because like, do you see my Trello? Like I literally built out a Trello and made a card of every single person I met, where they're connected, how I can help them, all these things, but I wasn't showing her those things. So then what I did was we did a 50-50 agreement where I picked up some personal training clients because I was already, I already had that business up and running, picked up like 10 clients to give us, to give me a salary, which then worked out because I would invest everything I made from that into helping, let's say, your podcast grow or my intern, his brand grow. So the money I was making in my own business, personal training and nutrition consulting, I would invest into other things and other people. And that's kind of like how I just kept spiraling.
When you say
up.
Investment, do you mean helping them still investing pro bono, or were you investing in small companies and in people that
both
were expecting to get a return?
Time, energy. So everyone I work with, the way that I work is like, I don't expect any type of return. Because I know that the return is like, if they're good people, like the world's going to bring me karma in some way, like just working with you, like whatever it comes to, like you, it's going to pay off in some shape or form.
Even if it doesn't, objectively, it pays off for you.
Yeah.
And you do that work, you know,
the way that I look at it is like, so Thrive is built off of like, it automatically pays off because the people that we pick to work with are helping other people. So right. I don't do any work or invest in anyone that isn't helping other people.
Right.
So like you have a brand, Rewrite the Rules, you're helping other people rewrite the rules. So just by me sitting down with you and having a conversation, you're already going to like pour into somebody else. So right there is payment enough. And that's where a lot of people don't understand that like money is just fucking energy. Like that's what trips people up. Like, it's just one form of energy. There's other forms. You can do a trade in money, a trade in value, a trade in, and value can break down into clothes, food. Like Hamza is an intern. Like maybe he wants to get connected with some of the people we're connected with, right? So that actually means more to him than money. He doesn't need money right now. He's in college, like, but he needs a connection to then unlock these other doors for himself. And that comes down to understanding what do those people need. And I think from just to answer your question concisely, like what happens after those 3 to 6 months is I told her that like what we need, we came to a mutual agreement. Like in that moment, we'd saved up money. We didn't need money. I needed connections and a network that could help me build the things that I wanted to achieve. So it was a different mindset that we were trying to grow into. And that's what was causing conflict was I wasn't actually like communicating that with her. I wasn't after money, but if I'm after money, I can make money.
Yeah. Are you sure your wife isn't named Ashley? Because it sounds exactly like the fights that I get in with my girlfriend.
I don't want to say they're all the same, but...
like to a T. No, I know exactly what you mean, man, but it is. Yeah, it's tough to communicate those types of things. There's a lot of stuff you went over there, and I think that it's like what Hamza's doing.
Oh, you said his name right this time. Let's go. Pound it, bro.
What Hamza's doing... It's a different mentality, you know? It's a different mentality to come into something and not be looking for the immediate payout right there in front of you, but to be able to see long term what this looks like for your life through the connections that you're making now, right? Through the experiences that Hamza's getting that any of us get. Like that shit pays off.
Yeah, man.
Right? But it's not gonna be right here. And that's why a lot of times I've fallen victim to that too. Once again, I'm not on a high horse here. But man, when you really like click that over, and I think when you see that, you know, the people you're hanging out with and like you going to the gym, you know, like I think about this, like you said, money, right? I think about this when you break down your budget and you look at the things you spend on and you go, okay, I didn't want to spend $200. I didn't have enough money to buy a $250 bicycle, right? I told myself I didn't have enough money for that. I spent $400 on going out to eat. That, and this is me personally.
Been there. We
and
all so, have.
And but when, and you look at that and you go, well, yeah, it doesn't. I still don't have enough money for my bike. I don't have enough money for the bike. But then you think, okay, hold up a fucking second. I spent how much money on alcohol, Netflix, whatever it is, that, whatever is your vice is, right? Whatever money you're wasting on makeup or whatever the fuck it is. And then I think to myself, that bike would have transported me places. I would have thoroughly enjoyed it. I would have gotten exercise. I would have been out in the sunshine. I would have been like a little kid, like you said. And that would have brought me way more than $250 worth of joy. But I told myself I didn't have enough money for it because I wasn't prioritizing that. Or I'm not evaluating it objectively. Or I guess it is objective. It's not subjective, right? You're not doing the subjective analysis of like, wait, how much actually does that, like how much does that add to my life? Buying that bike versus spending $200 on beer the past 2 weeks.
Yep. So the way that you break it down is like a lot of people have this habit of spending on depreciating assets.
Yeah, exactly.
Versus like investment. And one of the reasons is, and another reason that I want to get into the education space is just educating people on this because they just don't see it. Like for instance, I just bought a drone.
Hard to see.
For $1,500. Most people are like, well, you don't have the money to spend. Like if you saw my budget right now, I don't have the money to spend $1,500. But the opportunities that that drone unlocks for me are going to be well worth more than $1,500. I could go fly a drone for somebody that owns a mansion. I could reach out to them. I could sell my service. And then guess what? That buys me the time to fly it for free. Or I can bring it, I'm going to bring it on this yacht on July 4th, right? Then I'm going to create a little video where everyone's going to be tagged in it. So there's going to be 19 people on this yacht. I'm going to tag these people in it. Then they're going to share it to their social. Well, guess what? I just bought a $1,500. Well, you can count that as marketing costs into my business. How much do your businesses cost when you run ads and do all these things? Well, most people, what they won't do is bite that bullet because they don't see it as like an investment. They're confused and they think it's a depreciating asset where it's not. And then yeah. The other thing is just like the new age is, this is how I do things. Because in sales, they taught us like, okay, you have a new client or a new lead. We would go to lunch with them, right? You take them out to lunch, you'd spend $100, whatever it may be. But like in today's day and age, like you don't need to spend that $100 that way because like when people go to lunch, one, a lot of people are more in tune with their bodies now. They don't want to really eat out anyway. And like when you have a lead or whatever, you're kind of throwing them off of their normal day. So it's like, hey, look, what do you like to do? Okay, well, I like to go run in the park, or I like to go work out here. Or I like to go stand up paddle boarding, whatever it may be. What I found has worked really well in connecting with people again, and you're splitting you're taking away that bar or whatever it may be. And I'm trying to be practical to give whoever's listening out there some advice. Like when you're in sales, you're an entrepreneur, it's constantly selling, but you need to be creative with like, where's that investment of time and money? And like, let's say Alex, you like to paddleboard. Well, for us to go paddleboard for an hour probably costs a lot less than going to lunch. Right. And guess what? You're going to remember that fucking experience, and you're going to remember me, and you're probably going to want to work with me in some capacity, whether it's now or 5 years from now, because you had that really good experience. And that's, again, links back to your bike, where experience wins. That's that investment always, versus depreciating assets, where it's just like you spend on food, it goes in your gut, you shit it out. Like it's not an asset unless your family's in town and you haven't seen them in a while and you're going to go have this nice 3 hour whatever. And it's like this really good vibe. Okay. I can see that as like,
yeah, our lunches when you first came here to Austin, right?
Yeah.
You're spending $50 a day on lunches and coffee and shit.
Yeah. But that was because I wasn't trying to get anything out of it.
Right.
That's the thing. Like there's, it was just because I was trying to connect and have fun, but let's be real. Like we got to make money. We got to make connections.
Yep.
We got to help people. If you're in business, you got to help people provide that value to then have an exchange in value. When you're viewing things like that, you need to invest in things that can help you build leverage to do that. Like a drone, or like Hamza just had his camera out, a new camera that can upgrade you a little bit and market you just a little bit better. Well, it might be $2,000 right now, but if you just upcharge your service like $10 a head, how many, do the math. Like that's only 20 people.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like it's not like if you're charging at $100 per person, like it's literally that simple.
Yeah. Plus it's like, it's just the way that you start to see the things around you and like even the place that you stay, right? Like there's a good argument that you could say, well, shit, that apartment is way too expensive. Is it in a really good part of town? How much more expensive is it, right? It's an extra $300 a month. You know, it's in a really good part of town. You can walk to everything. You enjoy your life. Do you enjoy your life $300 more a month by living in that apartment versus you're miserable, but I get it. You save $300 a month. Like, you know what I mean? That's a trade-off there.
Yeah, I love the concept that you just went into because it was the exact thing that, so when I quit my job, excuse me, this sparkling water is making me burp.
mango.
Mango and lemon's pretty good. When I first quit, I was just like thinking in the corporate mentality, I got to save, whatever. But then I was like, you know what? Like, I know where that gets me. Let's play the game a little bit differently. So I invested $500 a month instead of working. So I was running basically my training business from 6 to 8 a.m. and then 6 to 8 p.m. at night. And then I would go to my 9 to 5. But once I took that 9 to 5 out, I had this huge gap of time and I didn't know what to do. So I'm like, I could do two things. I could light up my business and like literally work throughout the day and make really good money. Or what's more uncomfortable? Okay, I'm going to spend $500 and then I'm going to join this entrepreneurial hub that has access to mentors, events, investors, different things. And then other startups, there's like 70 startups in there that like, they definitely need pro bono work. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to actually go pay to work instead of getting paid to work. And that was, I kid you not, that was probably one of the best decisions I ever made, because within 3 months I learned so much and I got to get connected with so many people and help them working on things. I saw what people were struggling with. And then when I moved to Austin, I was like, it's got to be the same thing. So I kind of unlocked that code, and like that's what got me to where I'm at today with what I do, was by like kind of realizing the world works one way, but it doesn't work the same way for everybody. Like, you have to, like, if I'm really going to be this entrepreneur and serial entrepreneur, I need to go sit around serial entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
I can't literally live the life of save, put into a 401k, do these certain things. Like, I have to invest in that experience because I'm only 28. So like when I'm 40, what is my, if I live by the experience level, my experience is I probably have lived like most 70-year-olds.
Yeah.
At that point, I've had so many experiences. So man, that's a good fucking topic to get into.
Yeah, but let's get into it, man. I mean, it's also a good reminder too. I mean, it's a good reminder to spend money like that, like you said, but putting yourself in a position of personal power.
Yeah.
That's basically what you did, right?
Yeah.
You spent money to put yourself in, invested in yourself indirectly.
Yeah. And that's where that personal power comes from, experience. Like, I think what draws me into people, into working with people, is that they're confident in what they do and they provide something that you can't get anywhere else. But the reason that they become like that is because they had something happen in their life, or they had this experience that they invested in, that they're now confident in talking with it. And you see that a lot in our friends. Like, a lot of them are always leveling up. Like, every 3 months they're leveling up, doing new things, because they crave that experience. But then what they do is they immediately give that experience back to other people. And they just give it away for free. But then that helps raise their value, where they're working on higher end projects just because they had the experiences, then they're giving it away for free. And I saw that and analyzed it, and I was like, oh shit, my goal in life right now, like, I hit six figures early on. Like, I don't care about money. It's like, obviously money helps you do things, but if you really want money, just go hang around people that already have money. Like, the equation is fucking simple.
Yeah.
But if you want to impact the world, like I do, go hang around other people on a ground level of like Austin that are impacting Austin. And then guess what? They're going to get connected into, let's not just impact Austin, let's impact Texas, and let's run a retreat in Costa Rica. And then you just get pulled into things that 5 years ago, I never would have guessed it. But it's just that inkling of like, the most successful people, quote unquote, because you can define success in different ways, are just the best storytellers. Like, they've lived the most, and they give back that experience.
They're the best at conveying what they've done, or the ones that have actually lived it, you're saying?
Lived it. Mm-hmm. Lived it. Like, the ones that have lived it, and like, you just like sit in that room and you're like, man, that man has been to hell and back, and he's still like up here trying to help other people. He should be off like doing whatever, right? Sitting on a beach, but he's still here in this present moment, like helping, and he loves it. And you can see it in their eyes and their expression. And like that is something you can't pay for. And we're lucky in this environment that we are in, that there's a lot of people like that.
For sure. Yeah. When you said too, like, you 5 years ago, you had no idea that you'd be here. You know, do you ever look ahead into the future?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where it's just like, 5 years ago, you say you had no clue you'd be here, but then 5 years ago, you knew exactly where you'd be. It's like one of those, like,
that's a good point.
What's that word?
Well, I guess, what do you mean? Like, it's a contradiction?
Not a contradiction. It's like, the Matrix or some shit.
That's
like
how life is, though, man. Life is both. Life is a paradox like that. You know, it's like we're living and dying at the exact same moment sitting here, right? And I'm shocked where I am, and you're probably shocked where you are, but I'm also not surprised at all.
Yeah. It's just like when I got that really good job out of college, like it was like a shock. But it's like, again, I knew I'd be there. I worked really hard. I played sports. I got good grades. Like, so I'd know I'd be there. Yeah. But then, like, quote unquote, really good job. I thought previously, quote unquote, it was a really good job. But you get in that job and it's like, it's a really good job to other people. But for someone who, like, innately is a serial entrepreneur, it was a terrible job.
Yeah.
Sit at this desk, do this Excel sheet. That was fucking terrible for me.
You have a hat on right now that says for the people. So it's like,
not my vibe. Not a corporate job.
Not a corporate guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So like just knowing that right away, and that started to get me on that self-awareness train. So 5 years ago, I probably thought, like, it's funny that you asked this. When I played soccer in college, we had this, I got like player of the week or whatever. And they asked you, like, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And I just saw the newspaper clipping the other day. And it was like, manager in an engineering firm, like probably a house with kids or whatever. And
that was your answer.
That was my fucking answer, bro. And I'm like, why was I thinking so small? That was my number one thing in my head. I was just like, and that's why, like, I want to get people out there saying, like, think bigger. You can do whatever the hell you want. And I wish I could tell my younger self that, because it took me too long to start believing that.
How do you initially break yourself out of that shell?
Pain, unfortunately.
What do you mean?
You have to go through something that just causes so much pain where you're just like, fuck this. Like, I was on a panel and I remember saying this. I would rather sleep in a fucking car than go sit at a corporate desk. Like, it's not going to happen. So, but what caused that was, like, my aunt died of cancer at 40 years old, and I'm 28 now. So that gives me, like, even if I do everything right, I show the same signs that she has, and stomach illness runs in my family. Cancer runs in my family. Other diseases, just like everyone else. The difference I think I'm taking, that what most people do, is I'm addressing it very early on. And a lot of people just like kind of put it behind themselves, but it's the driving factor of what decisions I make in my life, where it's just like, I could die at any moment. Again, like I said earlier, that happened at 25 though. Cause as I was coming into 25, I started asking more questions, like, because I was already in the job for 3 years, to make it short. I was in the job for a couple years, and I'm like, I was jumping from job to job, and I was like, these aren't any different. They're all the same. Like, the people are the same. The expectations are the same. Everyone comes into work just to work, and then they drive home, sit in traffic, complain about sitting in fucking traffic, and like, there's no substance to it, right? You couldn't talk about sex, drugs, alcohol, nothing that like everyone behind closed doors is doing. But then you get in this job, and it's just like, fill out this Excel sheet, and I'm just like, why? Like, what the fuck is the purpose of me, like, just filling out an Excel sheet of people's hours that they're working? Like, this is stupid. And I think, like, I would get, not punished, but, like, that people would see that and be like, I'm basically challenging the status quo. So I felt like, oh, shit, this isn't, like,
I'm not gonna fit in. You, right? Yeah, you start to wonder if, like, is this something wrong with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I apathetic, or am I lazy, or what?
I started thinking I'm a sociopath, dude.
Yeah, you start thinking you're crazy. Yeah.
Like, I literally started thinking that. I shit you not. And that happened with like the 3 years in the job, and you start doing the self-awareness. You're like, I could fucking die at any moment. Why would I sit next to Janet here, who's complaining about every little thing under the sun? Fuck you, Janet. I'm out. I don't know. If anybody's name is Janet out there, I have nothing against you.
It's either Janet or a Karen or a Rob.
Or a Bill.
Bill, for sure. Bill is in finance. Bill is definitely in finance. Yeah, no, and I think so. Pain. Okay, no, I think that's a really good way to look at it, or at least like maybe
pain causes change,
and projecting the pain that you could have if you stay down this path for too long.
Yeah. So, dude, fuck. Whoever just listened to that, say that again.
Addressing the pain that you might have if you stay in this too long.
So, everyone out there that's listening to this right now, I want you to think about your life 10 years from now. 25 years from now, 40 years from now. If you stay doing what you're doing for those years, are you going to be happy looking back? That was a question that I asked myself. If I stay in this role and I get to 40, yes, I could have a lot of money. I could have a white picket fence. I could have a really nice wife and kids, but I will regret every single day that I didn't go after something that I knew in my heart I wanted to go after. And you have to just do it. You have no choice, or else you're going to be the the divorcee, you're going to be the dad who couldn't get to his kid's sports because he had to choose his job over whatever it may be. You're going to be the guy who's, or girl who's 300 pounds because you have no self-awareness to realize that like a lot of your weight gain is because you're strapped to a desk because you feel you have to be there and you're just doing what everybody else is doing. Like, think about that, that question that you, that Alex just asked, because that's huge.
Like, yeah, no, you're 100% right. I mean, I think it's the only question, right? And like what you said, if you skip ahead 30 years and look back, that's the only question you should be asking yourself.
Why isn't that in school? Like that's literally why
I have no idea. Why don't they teach you how to like control your consciousness? Why don't they teach you even like basic steps of breathing techniques and look ahead to the future and map out backwards reverse where you want to be, bro. Reverse engineer your life.
It just, bro.
Nothing.
So when I got into a corporate
y
job.
Y equals like MX this, plus B. I know that. Like, I know the Pythagorean fucking theorem.
So you start thinking, you start thinking you're a sociopath, like when you get into these roles, because like you get into these jobs and you are taught hierarchy. So you get in these jobs where like you have a middle manager and you're like a 23-year-old, 24-year-old, 25. You're like, and I'm supposed to look up to this 35-year-old who has a life I don't fucking give a rat's ass about.
That's a great point too. That's a fantastic point. You have to look wherever you are and you have to look at the people that are above you, which is the direction you're headed, or at least you're trying to head within the system that you're currently in. And if you don't want his lifestyle, doesn't mean you want to be that person. You don't want to be Janet, right? You don't want to be Bill as a human, but do you want their lifestyle? Do you want their position? Do you want to do what they're doing? If the answer is no, then you need to find something else.
100%. And that's really like, if we dive deep into that question, like the pain and everything I was talking about, the first ignition to all of that was immediately when I got into my job. I looked around to my left and to my right and I was like, I saw nobody that I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, growing up, I was an athlete. So I was looking up to people all the time. I'm like, man, that guy's badass at this, badass at that. I can pick his brain. I can do this. And then I get into this role and I'm just like looking around. I'm like, holy shit, all these people are in their mid-40s, mid-50s. They all look like they eat too much. They drink too much. None of them have anything in common with me. What the fuck do I do? Fight or flight turns on. Fight or flight turns on. A lot of people, luckily sports have created the discipline for me. I would just go to the gym a lot. I would go do things I liked and like sharpen myself. But then another factor was Instagram started coming out and I could start connecting with those like-minded people. So I started asking them like, hey, like I've never been, I'm a socialite. So like DMing someone and saying, hey, how did you get your lifestyle isn't something that scares me. So I'd reach out and be like, how did you do this? Or how did you do that? Or like just always been obsessed with the how of things. And I'm just like, started thinking like they would explain to me and I'm like, I can fucking do that. Why am I here? Why am I at this desk? And that's what that started that. And then like thinking like the pain was the like axe in the coffin. Like, what is the saying? Like
the nail hatchet, in the coffin?
Nail in the coffin. Yeah. The hatchet. Bro, great. Why am I thinking about hatchets right now? It's got to be this garden. I just want to go out there and start like machete, hatchet.
We are next to like a lush forest right here.
I feel bad for the gardener. I mean the who's coming tomorrow, the guy mowing your lawn.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the gardener. Yeah,
he's got a doozy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's funny because when I first started this podcast, I think I've told this story on here before. I went to the Grand Canyon and an overnight solo trip to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and back by myself, no watch, no phone, no nothing. It was in the middle of summer. I had a bandana as a pillow and I had a water filter and some Cliff Bars.
It's badass.
And I come back up and I'm driving back down to the border of Mexico where I was staying, and it fucking hit me like nothing's ever hit me in my life. It was an epiphany. It was like the angels came down and just kind of flashed this on me, right? And it was like, you need to start a podcast. You got to start a podcast. And it was at that moment that I was simultaneously pissed. I was so pissed off. And I was so excited at the exact same time because I knew this was something that I had to do, but I knew it was something that I was scared to do. And I knew it was something that
why
was
were you scared?
Overcome those fears. It was fear of putting yourself out there, right?
Yeah.
It's the resistance, you know? It's easier not to do it.
How addicting.
But I knew I had to do it or I'd regret it for the rest of my life. And that's what I mean by that.
So now that you've done that, how addicting is
you
that feeling to. Now though?
You have to, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not even so much. I'm always looking for that feeling, right? Of that like that raw emotion of I know to my core this is what I have to do. But I'm also addicted to I guess, taking action on that, so I don't have the tingling sensation of upcoming regret.
Man, that's good. I want to quote that, like, literally. Like, so you're talking about, because I know that exact feeling where, like, and I think another thing that people are just asleep, like, to that feeling, that tingling feeling, because they don't know how to act. Because a lot of people that I interact with are just, the first question out of their mouth is, how do I do this or how do I do that? And then you start digging a little deeper and they actually answer their own question. But what is causing them? So, like you said, you're addicted to acting. Now you're addicted to that action. So that feeling, that tingling feeling, doesn't last as long.
Yeah.
But why do you think a lot of people, like, I feel like they don't even understand that addiction to that action, because they're just staying in this tingly feel. Like, they literally just sit there and like to ideate and just sit there in these visions. I dream this, whatever. But
well,
then their actions lead somewhere else. So what differentiates that?
Well, I don't think anything differentiates. I think we both have the capacity to do both of those, right? Like, we have the angel and the demon inside of us. I think everybody does. I have procrastinated more than anyone else on the planet, right? I have made poor choices. I have resorted to my lowest vices. I have done all those things.
You're human.
I'm human, but then I've also taken action on a shitload of stuff, right? And I've done all these things. Every single person listening to this, and me and you sitting here, we all have the capacity to do both. And it's a lot of factors, right? It's the way you grew up. It's the environment. It's the decisions you make. It's all these different things. But I would say, all of the things being equal, it's just a matter of recognizing what that is. And, like, everyone has that resistance and everyone has that fear and everybody has that propensity to put things off and maybe resort to things. But to, at some point, at least just once, you have to take the smallest step possible towards that thing you want, or you will regret it for the rest of your life.
And that's where they get tripped up when they don't understand the smallest step. They have these huge goals.
Yeah, that's
where, like,
that's a tricky one too.
So, you know, the Nike Just Do It.
Yeah,
like how they have that.
That's so good, man. It's so good. It's so true.
I want to create, like, a notebook that says "Fuck it, just do it."
Fuck yeah.
And you literally, like, write down all those ideas you have in your head, and you're just like, so it's like, call your girlfriend and explain your feelings to her, or like, call this person and whatever, anything that's uncomfortable. It's just like this "fuck it, just do it" book, where it's just like you have to just knock these out, like, left and right. And then that, I think, will help people, because I live like that. I don't need the notebook. I'm just like, anyone's like, you want to come do this podcast, CJ? Fuck it, let's go. Like, that's how I live my life, because I can't tell. You don't know whether things have an impact on your life for the most part until after the math anyway. Yeah. So I'm just, after that experience, if it's new and it's genuine, it's authentic, great, let's go for it. But I love how you said, like, taking that first step. And that's where I think a lot of people get tripped up, because they just don't even, like,
gets overwhelming.
Where's that first step? Like, what is that first step?
Exactly. First of all, you should make that fucking planner. No, honestly, man, because that'd be awesome. And you should have, like, hey, I have to call my girlfriend and have that conversation. What's the first, like, and then you break that down and be like, what's the smallest thing you can do to point you in that direction? I guess I could send her a text and set up the time, right? I guess I could text her and say, I want to talk to you. So it's like, okay, here's that big thing. I'd love to write a book. What's the first thing you could do? I could literally write one sentence.
So, to that point, I have to cut you off, because I want to write a book one day. So the reason that I write long Instagram captions is it's training me.
Training you, yeah.
The train of thought. And then when I go to write that book, I literally have paragraphs I could start piecing together based on certain topics.
And I was going to say, I bet those paragraphs correspond to chapters in the book that you want to extrapolate on.
Sometimes I talk about integrity or whatever it may be. There's different things that I'm talking about, love and business and whatever. And I can just pull them in so that by the time I go to write that book, I literally just pay an intern. Hey, vet all my captions, give me the ones on business here, the ones on life, love, wherever. And then I literally just sift through, ooh, that's an idea, write about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's where, again, like, the biggest thing, the notebook was really why I said the just fuck it notebook is a fucking do it notebook, is because what a lot of people aren't doing is literally just tracking what they do day to day.
Yeah.
So they'll sit there and complain, but they won't really just track, like, where are you spending your time? Why are you spending your time there? And there's a quote that says, like, discipline is freedom. as soon as you're disciplined enough to like track what you're doing, like, and change the choices that you're making, you're going to make it. Yeah. That's my belief. As soon as people start doing that, you're going to get everything out of life that you've ever wanted.
Yeah.
Because again, like you said, we are procrastinators. We're human beings.
Yeah, and you gotta.
I procrastinate all the time. But again, procrastination is also based around pain, and it's based around like what I've told Hamza during the internship. Like, if you find yourself procrastinating, that's usually something you need to do. Because the easy things like flying the drone or skateboarding, whatever, you're gonna do regardless.
Yeah.
But it's the little things that determine whether you're gonna go from good to great. The greatness is found within that little pain points of like, because if you think of human beings, we all know we procrastinate. So it's the people that when they hit that procrastination wall, it's some turn left and they just never go over that wall. And some are like, just fucking do it. And they just go. And whether that's 1 week or 1 month, doesn't really matter. The time frame doesn't matter, but you actually do it. And that starts with, I think, tracking. So if you're gonna like write something down, like if you wrote down, have CJ on the podcast, you're probably going to have me on the podcast within a week or a month or whatever. But if you have it in your head and then you just never revisit that idea, I'm probably never going to be on your podcast.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny because we were talking on Instagram and it came back in and I had had that thought in my, it's funny you say that because I had had that thought in my mind. We were talking on Instagram, I think, which your Instagram's what, Thrive on Life,
yeah. Right?
Which everyone listening should follow because you'd have a lot of good, valuable shit on there.
Appreciate it.
And, I think you posted something on you on somebody else's podcast or something, and that's what triggered it. And that's when I was like, oh, I should have him on sometime. And I clicked back. I left your page. I left your story, whatever the fuck it was. And I was like, wait, dude, what are you waiting for? And I went back in and messaged you, and I was like, dude, let's set up a podcast. Because it's so easy, especially nowadays. And you're 18, Hamza. So, I mean, I'm 30. You're 28. But man, there's so many distractions all the time. Yep. Now that I could have in that moment that I thought, you know what? I should get CJ on, you know, let's do this. And I get a text message that comes in from my mom or from my girlfriend or from a friend that I've been waiting to talk to. Immediately I click on that. I forget who I was talking on Instagram. I forget that I was thinking I should have you on the podcast, and that moment's gone and we're not sitting here.
So,
and that happens a million times a day.
That's to fucking a million people. Sick. Because one of my biggest tactics and tips for people, like in terms of like acting on their life. So let's give Instagram as an example, because that's what you were just talking about. How many people out there listening, are you scrolling through stories every day, right? And you scroll through these stories that in people's lives and you're like, ooh, that's cool. Or, ooh, that's this.
Yeah.
I challenge you that the next time you say, ooh, this is cool. Or, ooh, that person's doing this, fucking video message them. Guaranteed it makes your life better, because as soon as you act on that thought of like, I saw Alex on this other podcast and he said something really cool. So if I am CJ seeing that story and I saw you, Alex, do that, I'm then going to video message you and say, dude, that was awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. Now what's that going to start? A real conversation, and you're actually going to get some type of experience out of life, versus what we normally do now is we become robots and just drown ourselves out. And then we're like that switch of tingling. People are becoming desensitized because there's no force that they need to act on it. But what I challenge you to do, if you're listening, is when you see that, just like Alex did, act on it, because you'll lose it if you don't. Like, and you'll literally just lose that sense of like even acting in the first place. And then you start seeing how your life starts to transition. You're gonna watch less stories and what is it called? Consuming less things. You're actually gonna be acting on things. I'm gonna reach out to so and so and have them on my podcast. I'm gonna reach out to so and so and we're gonna write a blog about them. I'm gonna set this meeting with so and so, rather than like I'm gonna sit here and wait and just watch things. And that's what the majority of the market does, is they just sit there and watch, and then things just fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
And then they sit there and wonder like, why is my life not the way it is meant to be? It's because, bro, girl, you're not fucking attacking life and molding it the way that you want it to be. And that's where it comes with that initial action, just like you said.
That's a fuck. Yeah. Especially on Instagram, because everybody's on it, social media. And I like that saying, the video one, instead of just typing out.
Disruption, baby.
Hey, it's
everyone
great.
Texts. And it's a waste of time.
Everybody texts. Yeah. But actually taking that second to record a video, which is going to be uncomfortable. You're going to feel weird. Guaranteed, whoever you're listening, you're going to feel strange. I'm going to do it. I'll do it today. I'll do one today.
Let's shake on it, bro. So this is another.
Hamza, have you done this yet?
So this is another reason I challenge you to do it is because people are like, I don't need to do that. Like, well, how does that apply to my life? Well, everyone out there, if you have a corporate job, you're probably going to present to your managers, or you are a manager and you're presenting all the time. What is the easiest tool to help you present in a better manner? Your fucking phone. Literally just be, that's why I started doing Instagram stories and being on it, was because I was like, wow, this is actually a tool where I can practice day in and day out.
Practice talking.
Just living. And then when I get on a panel or I have to do a workshop or whatever it may be, it's just like, okay, clockwork.
Yep.
It's just like swinging the bat.
For sure.
I've already done it 1,000 times.
And on a deeper level too, if you got that little tiny bit of resistance or you feel so comfortable and you do it, that now translates to every facet of your entire life.
Everything.
Even though it's just a video on Instagram, I get it. The person might not even fucking respond. Who cares? You took a small little action against something that scared you a little bit and you did it anyway. And now you are better off for it in every part of your life.
So I love how you talk about the person who might not respond. And that's another thing I think that's breeding in our, again, with the ROI, is like, don't do the video expecting a response. Do the video because you're like, this is bettering my life. So if I get a response or I don't care.
And you genuinely think whatever you saw, you genuinely think it was cool.
Yeah. And I'm getting better at these little areas. And it's just like, you don't pick the guitar up to be the next Led Zeppelin. You pick the guitar up because you enjoy it.
Yeah.
So now you need to apply those things to things you can monetize in your life. And like speaking engagements, podcasting, whatever it may be, you can monetize those things, whether it's actually monetizing this podcast or in your business, you're going to be a better speaker. So you're probably going to, your value is probably going to go up. You're going to make more money. And this is the things that like people, again, they can't connect those dots because they're just drowned out. They're just consuming. They're not like thinking outside the box. And that's one thing, huge thing that I want to educate on. Anybody can do it. We're not special. All of us sitting in this room, we're just fucking human beings.
Yeah.
Two hands, 2 feet, luckily, like that's it.
Yeah.
We start it, quote I like to say, every day is day one for every single person. So whether you choose what you do with that day one is up to you.
That's fucking perfect place to end it, man. Tell everyone where they can find you, all the million things you're up to, but like where are the main spots to find what you're doing?
So actually going through a rebrand right now where Thrive on Life, Thriveon Life, Life. Find our main account there. I'm actually transitioning out. That used to be my personal brand, but I've always wanted to create something much bigger than myself. And again, helped other mission-based people, brands and businesses thrive. So if you have a business, an idea or a project, and you don't know the first step to take, I would love to sit down with you and help you. And then, so my Instagram account now is cj.finley, F-I-N-L-E-Y. That's the best way to find me. I'm on there more than any other platform, even text messages, only because like that's the easiest platform.
You get 30 of them a day. Yeah.
Yeah,
where that's what I'm guessing.
No, it's just like Instagram is easy to send videos really quickly.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like whoever DMs me, I can send a video chat really quickly back, or I can link them to things really easily. Text is kind of like not as
2013, bro.
It's not as intuitive.
Hamza, what's your Instagram? Unlocking Hamza, H-A-M-Z-A.
Yeah, and
Unlocking Hamza. That's the whole thing.
Yes,
awesome.
Yeah. You can find us both. We're redoing our website right now, so all that will be launched. And then one thing I want to do is like, how can we help this podcast rewrite the rules?
Post this content that we have to your account.
Let's go. Thank you so much for having us.
No, it was a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on, man. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to check out CJ's podcast, Thrive On Podcast, available on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and all other pertinent and available podcast and audio listening applications and devices. Anyway, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Got some great ones coming up. I'm talking to Aubrey Marcus's right-hand man, Eric Godsey, one of the smartest guys I've had on here. He's going to be on here. Got this badass chick, Kate, about how death will motivate you to live your life better. Cool shit coming up, guys. Enjoy hot August nights, and I'll talk to you soon.